How Amazon has become a big part of this COVID-19 life, and in more ways than you might think. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Kimberly Adams, in for Molly Wood. As we continue to deal with the coronavirus outbreak, many of us are doing more online shopping and relying on Amazon more than ever. Amazon has hired about 80,000 new workers to keep up with the demand, and following employee walkouts and protests, the company announced Thursday it would start taking employees' temperatures at work and provide face masks. Amazon, in the era of COVID-19, is the topic for this week's Quality Assurance, where we take a second look at a big story in the news. Matt Day covers Amazon for Bloomberg, and we talked about whether the company fit into that now crucial designation of essential.
Obviously, a good deal of Amazon is kind of essential in these times, you know, particularly if you're somebody with mobility issues, you're somebody who, for health reasons, doesn't want to even take the risk of going to a supermarket or big box store that remains open. You know, you're reliant on e-commerce. And, you know, on that regard, if you're trying to get dry goods or hand sanitizer or wipes, chances are you're using Amazon.com. But one of the drawbacks that we've found of this environment, at least if you talk to Amazon's workers, is that they're still shipping a lot of non-essential stuff. Amazon's digital doors remain open for books, for, you know, toys, games, for kind of everything else that they have been selling online anyway. They're still shipping that. And there's workers in facilities around the country, you know, still risking their own health going into work in the service of moving those goods to your door, too.
We're talking about e-commerce, but Amazon also has a lot of other businesses, right?
Right. And there's a bunch of other areas that, you know, they stand to likely benefit from this. You know, one of them, it doesn't get talked about quite as much as delivery, but Amazon Web Services, their cloud computing group, which, you know, it's essentially on-demand software or processing power. You know, businesses with employees working from home are making more use of that, analysts say. And then, you know, if you're sitting at home watching Netflix or using a variety of internet services, a lot of the backbones of those live on Amazon Web Services. And so, you know, it's just kind of the conventional wisdom that they stand to gain, too, from this environment right now.
You know, so many of our conversations are about what happens after we come out of this, even though it's hard to even envision when that is or what the world is going to look like at that point. But when we look at Amazon a year from now, what kind of stories do you think you'll be writing about this company and its business?
I think we're going to be writing about, you know, how this, you know, as catastrophic an event as it's proving to be globally, this is kind of the thing that Amazon was built for. You know, they've spent most of the last decade building a giant logistics network in the U.S. and parts of Europe to really in an unprecedented way get goods to you quicker and to every doorstep they can access. They've been, you know, touting e-commerce since that term was new. So I think in a lot of ways, they are a company built to take advantage of this. And now it hasn't been a glorious couple of months for them. They've had some complaints from workers about, you know, non-essential goods and the rate at which they've been worked. There's been, you know, the usual criticisms from U.S. senators about giving workers better pay, which has been an issue at Amazon off and on for a while, you know, but to a large extent, this company was designed to handle these kind of challenges. So I think, you know, if this indeed means a sort of permanent increase in online commerce, you know, Amazon would stand to gain a tremendous amount from it. And then the question is just whether they're able to capitalize on that, you know, the way their business leaders would hope, or if some of the PR backlash related to some of these controversies hampers them.
We have seen protests this week by delivery workers and people working in Amazon's warehouses. Will this have an effect on the company's operations?
The issue with Amazon, it's been a complicated story for a long time. But one of the things this crisis is doing is some of those folks are kind of taking the opportunity to speak in a way that they haven't before. There was a walkout in an Amazon warehouse just outside of Detroit. It was the third walkout in 3 days at an Amazon facility, you know, across the country. And that's just something you don't see very often, you know. So clearly, you know, workers who feel under extreme amounts of pressure themselves think that this is an opportunity for them to, you know, maybe ask things of management that would have been more difficult under sort of business as usual conditions.
Bloomberg's Matt Day. Amazon also says it's no longer going to sell N95 masks and other urgently needed COVID-19 related supplies to regular customers. The company has a new section of its website just for these products and says it will prioritize them for hospitals and government agencies. And now for some related links. Matt Day recently wrote about Amazon's surge in hiring to meet all the demand from people stuck at home due to coronavirus. And some of that hiring last month was happening at job fairs, where people weren't exactly able to practice social distancing. Amazon said it's since updated its recruiting strategies to, according to Matt's reports, keep applicants safe. Both Matt and my colleague Andy Euler covered those Amazon protests we were talking about. And speaking of safety, Instacart says it's going to start providing full-service shoppers with a safety kit, including a mask, hand sanitizer, and a thermometer. Shoppers have to request the kits, but they are supposed to be free. You can find the links to all these stories at marketplace.org. And here's what else we're watching. After years of negotiations, a bunch of lawsuits, a Department of Justice investigation, millions of dollars in lobbying, and some extra stays at the Trump Hotel, the merger between T-Mobile and Sprint is finally done. That deal is worth about $26 billion and leaves us with just three big wireless networks: AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and no one else. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Jesus Alvarado is our assistant producer. Jody Becker is our senior editor. And Robin Edgar is our engineer. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.